Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Living Myth. Voice of Olympus, hosted by Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory, celebrates the mythic impulses of ancient Greece and Rome, and they invite you to celebrate with them. Welcome to Voice of Olympus.
Greetings! Thank you for joining us and welcome to the Voice of Olympus on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. I am Hercules Invictus.
And I'm Athena Victory.
And thank you so much for being here with us. Tonight's guest will be Terry Power, and our topic will be the mythic in modern times. But before we talk to Terry, I wanted to share with you my primal vision. My primal vision has been with me since I was very young, and it's remained with me for my entire life. It is my guiding vision, and now it's yours. I glimpse the top of a mountain shrouded in mist. Hovering on high, I can discern the ruins of an ancient Acropolis complex in the timeless twilight. I wait alone, formless in the silence. In time, a lone figure, powerfully built and clad in the skin of a lion, makes his way towards the abandoned temple of the highest. His hair and beard are still mostly brown, though streaks with white and gray. In his right hand, he wields a knobby club studded with bronze. My consciousness enters this figure, and henceforth I see through his eyes. I know that I am now Hercules, son of Zeus, and progenitor of my line. Entering the fallen structure, I move through it unerringly until I reach a rectangular stone table, a long-neglected altar of the Olympians. Upon the altar is an antique horn from a heavenly bull, I tell myself. I then realize that I've been here many times before and that I know exactly what to do. The horn is of monstrous size and etched with arcade glyphs. Some of the etchings are inlaid with silver. I put down my club, cautiously lift the artifact to my lips, then blow into the smaller end with all my strength. The bellowing call echoes through the firmaments. With a horn of summoning still in hand, I exit the temple and peer purposefully into the murky skies near where I myself once hovered. I can detect faint presences, spirits that have answered my summons, who will help me in carrying out my Olympian mission. Some take on form, while others remain formless. But this I know, all who have responded will assist me in my task. And with this realization, the vision starts to fade. I am blessed with a brief glimpse of the ruins restored to their former glory. The sky is lambent, blue and clear. There are mythic beings engaged in joyous activity, myself among them. And I realize that this is Mount Olympus, my internal point of origin and return. And now, in the name of Mount Olympus, the Voice of Olympus, welcome to our show. And welcome, Terry Power.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen, and gentlemen and lady.
Thank you very much. We're honored that you are our first guest, and we're honored that you invited us on this adventure.
Well, I'm equally honored that you have answered the call and have agreed to join us in our quest to share spirituality with the masses and to help people to understand that each person walks their own path and we all have our different approaches. And having having you and Athena participate lends a certain additional diversity. And we're honored and thrilled that you have joined us on the network.
I thank you. And how could we refuse such a call to adventure? This is indeed a noble endeavor, Terry.
It is an adventure, that is for certain.
And so should it be. So tell us about yourself and your quest and how this led to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network.
Wow. I have known, much like you, since my youth, that there was more than what I was being told, that there was more to the universe. And I've always had an affinity for the ancient. And like you, I have a certain affinity for the ancient Mediterranean. But when I did realize, I was having a conversation with an Episcopal priest, and I used to teach Anglican theology and was a junior warden of a Episcopal vestry.
Wow.
And I was having a conversation with an Episcopal priest, and I said something, and he said, well, that's the blankety-blank heresy. Wow, it wasn't just heresy I had uttered, but a named heresy. I took the big time. So I realized at that point that pretty much the jig was up. I had gotten from the Episcopal Church all that I could, and it was time for me to move on. Shortly thereafter, I found the pagan community. This would have been in the mid to late 80s.
Okay.
And I knew that, you know, I knew that there was more. So I became I guess eclectic Wiccan with some leanings toward some leanings toward Wicca, but generally still eclectic pagan. And I grew up through a tradition. Many of you may know of the Karelian tradition. I have since moved from that as well. But
I've heard of the Karelian tradition. When we did interfaith with the Hellenic community, we had Karelians.
Yeah.
Right. And so I came up through that. I was made high priest. Served for a period as an elder of the tradition, and somewhere in there I met an amazing woman who found me on Facebook and asked me to speak at her event, and that began a friendship. Sir?
That's how we met Robin as well, through Facebook.
Yes. Yeah, I think it was actually the same event.
Yes, it was.
And so that began a friendship that, after certain other relationships in both of our lives ended, we were free to pursue a deeper relationship, and today we are hand-fasted and having our legal wedding in July. So,
congratulations.
Thank you, sir. And so this journey, somewhere in there, I realized that I have a deep and abiding affinity for the Celtic stories, the gods of Ireland and the goddesses of Ireland. And those stories speak to me, possibly because I was raised, I am from Irish stock. The surname Power is, in fact, a very Irish name. And I was raised in the South, in those last vestiges of the Southern Irish Celtic immigrants that get taught that hospitality above all, and all of the ideals that were raised or that were given to me in my raising all come from those old stories. And when I started reading those stories, I realized that's who I am. And so that is the path that I have followed, with some variations. The horned god in a kind of generic form has manifest very powerfully in my life in the last few years.
We know him as Pan.
You know him as Pan. I know him as the Stag King, Kernanus or Hermes. And the stag energy, that guardian of the forest, and the Stag King, watching over, very fatherly kind of figure. In my understanding and my relationship with him, and in his interactions through me. So that's kind of who I am and where I've come from in a nutshell, without taking up an entire hour. I could easily speak about how I got to where I am. But
that is indeed a wonderful journey. And as Athena said, the stag is sacred in many cultures. With Hercules, it was the Cyrenian hind, which wasn't a stag, but was antlered. And also, the constellation of Hercules was called the Stag by the Romans. And that's one of the mysteries I'm currently trying to unravel in my own personal quest.
I see. Okay.
Now,
I was not aware of that part.
In Greek mythology, such figures who were animals or combinations of animals and men, these often acted as instructors, as tutors, as mentors to heroes who had awoken to their own divinity and wished to walk the path back to the heavens. And often that involved giving up notions of what the sacred is that one had outgrown and stepping out of them like old garments and seeking a new and greater truth for oneself. So it seems you're well on that path.
It would seem so. Thank you.
And now, the Spiritual Unity Network, how did that come about? Because that's an awesome thing. We need more dialogue between people of different faiths, people who hold different beliefs about why we're here and what this is all about.
Well, I started on another network that shall remain nameless. And I started in January of 2011 doing a radio show there. And that was on Thursday nights. And over time, I started, was asked to do another show and did that as well. I was on at one point two nights a week and engineering for someone on another night a week. So I was very involved in the station and the workings. Well, I had a fundamental disagreement with management, and we decided to go in separate directions. And I was off the air for about a month before I realized this can't go on. I have a voice. I have a message. I still have people that need to hear what I have to say. And so I started looking at alternatives, and it turned out the best alternative was to simply start my own Blog Talk Radio network. And with the help of a good friend who will be rejoining us tomorrow night for our 500th episode celebration and reunion.
Wow. Congratulations. That's an awesome achievement.
Thank you. We will be celebrating and like I said, having a reunion. And he and I started this with the idea that we will not be silenced. And along the way, Robin joined the joined the picture. She and I were still friends and colleagues at that point when this launched. And so that it really just came out of the idea that there were people constantly contacting me saying, when are you coming back? When are you doing something? We need you. And so I answered the call, as it were, by creating the network. And it's been through some hosts that have come and gone, but we've always sought to show people that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. And here's where I take a controversial turn in the pagan community. Because if I say all manifestations, I have to mean all. And that includes not just, you know, Zeus and Apollo and Hera and Athena and Hercules and the Dagda and Herne and Rigid or, you know, or Thor or all of those ancients, but also if I say all manifestations, I have to also include the inherent validity of Jesus, Jehovah, Yahweh, Allah, Buddha, and every other god and goddess that's ever been called upon throughout history. It's not my job to judge. It's not my job to say this is right or wrong. It's my job to lead people to a deeper connection to the divine by whatever name they use and to help them to accept that everyone else is walking their own path as well and for us to come together in unity rather than division. And that's the inherent message and mission of the Spiritual Unity Radio Network.
And that is indeed awesome, and it is very important in our world where these differences in opinion or these differences in belief about why we're here and what this is all about lead to armed conflicts and a lot of suffering. So what you're doing is very much needed, and it is very much attuned to what we've been doing along the same lines. I, too, draw fire from the pagan community because I've done community-related things with Christians, with Muslims, with all sorts of people, Jehovah's Witnesses, Roman Catholics, anybody who wants to set aside the war in heaven and focus on the needs of the humanity we share, those are our brothers and sisters. So we're pretty much along the same lines in what we're working on.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a fascinating, Robin will tell you, I have this knack for about once every 6 months, I end up on an airplane next to a Christian minister.
It's a divine providence.
It is. I mean, the first time it was amusing. The second time it was weird. The third time it was like the cosmic 2x4. It's like, you know, you're supposed to be reaching and building bridges. Robin and I, our personal ministry is called Little Stone Bridge. And the idea came out of a conversation she and I were having about tearing down walls and using the stones to build bridges.
Beautiful metaphor.
And there is Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings, our personal ministry. But the first time I ended up on an airplane, I was on an airplane going from Chicago to Atlanta with the entire plane was full of people going to a religious educators conference. And my first thought was, uh-oh. But then I realized that it wasn't a Christian educators conference, it was a religious educators conference. It was already a diverse group. Now, I was the only pagan on the plane, but nonetheless, it was a diverse group, and I ended up sitting next to the Dean of Theology of a Lutheran seminary. And together, he and I worked out the definition of religion as a generic term. It is, we're all taught the same thing. We're all taught in some form to love the divine by whatever name we use and to love our neighbors however we define that. Every religion on the planet teaches the same thing. How amazing.
That's very profound. That is very profound.
And
so if that's what every religion teaches, why then the need for so many religions?
Well, because some of them define neighbors in more or less vertical ways. I tend to define neighbor in a very horizontal way. Some of them are a little more vertical. And by vertical, I mean that there's not a lot of sidestepping. It's this or the no way. And so when they get to that exclusivity part, then we start get wrapped up in I'm right and you're wrong. And if we could tear down those walls, and let's just recognize that everybody's going to call on the divine because we're hardwired. We carry a piece of the divine within us. Some people call it the Holy Spirit. Some people call it the divine spark. Whatever you call it, we carry a piece of the divine within us, and we're seeking to reconnect, though separated by this human shell. So we're all called to that connection. I just don't believe that there's a right or a wrong. And as long as we can remove that concept of exclusivity, then I think that we can build peace, build bridges. And that's what I seek to do in my life and in my ministry.
And that is phenomenally noble. Let's move on to the mythology of that now. So the core message of the religions is, as you have pointed out, very, very similar. Where they differ is in terms of their mythology. So that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Is mythology good or is mythology not so good? How do you define mythology? How do I define mythology? How does Athena define mythology? How do our listeners define mythology? For me, mythology is the tales we tell about the patterns that govern us and that we live through our lives. And these myths are colored by our culture, because people choose to live in different ways. So their understanding of that divine spark that lives within them is different. And my ancestors were syncretists, they were theosophists, and they were universalists. And I found in my own quest that those are good ways of looking at the world. Syncretist means that what you're saying relates to what I'm saying through the filter of your culture. So the ancients sought to remove those filters. So they found Hercules in the Dagda. They found Hercules in Ogmios, in Donar, in Thor, in Shango. Everywhere they went, where they encountered a strong man with divine powers associated with lightning and lions and things like that, that was Hercules. And these people knew Hercules during one of his many adventures. He must have had children here, and they understand him in a different way than we do. So let's exchange stories. And then these stories would cross from culture to culture. Universalist is an understanding that we're all humans, and on some deep level, we understand each other despite the cultural lenses. So it's going to that level. And the philosophers did this wonderfully. And theosophical means realizing that what we're talking about is the divine, and that the divine has a simple level that people understand in a tribal way, and then it has a more abstract and deeper level that people who spend a lot of times concerned with such things glean, and then they have a different type of dialogue. So that is my definition of mythic. Athena, what is your definition of mythic?
I find mythology to be our stories too, but in a more personal way. It's sort of like a celebration of life. A lot of times when you look at the myths, it talks about creation. It talks about the cycle of a hero learning something. It's pretty basic with the human needs. The filter is, for every mythology there is, it tends to be in a specific geographical location. So the people in that specific geological location think that this is the only story, that their story is more relevant than someone else's, and that's kind of where we get into trouble with them. But if you strip the stories down bare bones, you're going to find there's all these archetypes, and I think Jung went over them too with the his archetype theory on mythology. And of course, the late and great Joseph Campbell had a lot to say about it. And
my heroes.
Yeah, pretty much. Joseph Campbell pretty much gave the best overview of mythology and how it relates to us at all. And I've told many, many pagans that pretty much wanted to do a Wiccan 101 with me that I suggest they get the Bill Moyers, Joseph Campbell interview and watch them. Watch them on videotape because there's a lot of good visuals in there. And that is a great basis for learning mythology. It's just go over that, and you learn the appreciation of how everything interrelates with it, relates to one another, I should say.
And Terry Power, what of you, from your perspective? What is mythology?
Well, I say to people all the time that if you want to understand a culture, look at the stories of their gods and goddesses. Because those are the stories that tell you the ideal of that culture. And, on the flip side, if you want to understand their deepest fears, look at their monsters. But
well, sometimes the gods and monsters are the same, depending what culture it is.
Well, therein lies an interesting point. I mean, Loki is an example of that. Loki kind of plays both sides of the fence. So there's also that great fear of betrayal that is evidenced in the stories of Loki. So therein, you've got this great ideal, but you've also got this fear of betrayal and this monster. So yes, some of them are the same. I also think that there's an inherent validity in contemporary stories that tend to resonate.
Very true.
Because a story is 6,000 years old doesn't mean that it's more relevant than a story that's 60 or 70 years old.
Conan the Barbarian is one of my heroes. He's kind of like the shadow aspect of the Herculean archetype. And I'm very, very much into the barbarian tales of sword and sorcery that our cultures produce. And I found certain resonances in superheroes as well. And these are the same archetypes, the same patterns manifesting in a way that speaks to the modern psyche. But the ancient gods still speak to the modern psyche. And it's funny that in comic books, which I like reading, there are various versions of Hercules interacting with one another, despite the different cultural lenses that are put upon them. So you'll have all these solar deities in the DC universe or in the Marvel universe having like a conversation with each other. And each of them represents an aspect of the same pattern. That manifests in our lives and that we equate with animals and planets and all sorts of other things in our experience to help define.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm fascinated with stories. I personally resonate with Aragorn.
Yes. The Ranger.
From Lord of the Rings. Really reading the story, and I tell people all the time, and Robin and I attended a festival recently where there was a workshop done where the lady said basically pick a person or character that you want to emulate, that you want your life to follow that pattern, and make it happen. So you remember the old bracelets that people used to wear, the WWJD? What would Jesus do? Well, you can make for yourself one that says WWHD in your case. What would Hercules do? WWAD for me. What would Aragorn do? What do you want to emulate in your life and pattern your life in that way? When it comes to making a decision, contemplate what would that person, that deity, that character, what would they do? and try to make that decision in that direction.
I don't think that would work for my archetypes, because Hercules would beat you on the head with a club, and Conan would chop off your head, as would most of the other barbarians. I think that the heroes that aren't dark and light, you know, don't represent the polarity, that would work with like a knight or a monk or, you know, some sort of character that has a particular moral stance. But with some of the older archetypes, they represent a range rather than an extreme and a polarity, so that the same mythical figure could show something positive or something negative through their behavior. And for the older ones, it's not so much an emulating, it's a learn from type of thing. So, for instance, my name has to do with the path I'm on, and that path has positive things that were learned by those who've walked this path before, and also it's rich in examples of what not to do on this particular path. And how I walk that path is up to me, and it's a very individual type of thing, so I'm not really emulating somebody, except in like certain circumstances maybe, but it's more a learning from all the people who've walked this path before, all the different versions of Hercules. The ancients understood that there were more than one Hercules, and this is discussed in many of the ancient writings. We know of the names of two of them, Achilles and Palaemon. Some people like Milos of Croton, they assumed the persona of Hercules and led their forces into war. So the path of Hercules was something that certain individuals are drawn to and then would walk. But it certainly wasn't to emulate what Hercules would do, because Hercules did some very atrocious things, or some of the Hercules did anyway.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, what would the Dagda do? The Dagda is one of the energies I work with. And what would the Dagda do? I mean, there's this great story of eating a kettle-sized bowl of porridge and then bedding three women. So,
yes.
You know, all in a night. So that's probably not something I would try.
I'm sure your wife would not appreciate that at all.
Well, this is true. That's certainly part of it. There is that aspect of it. But if we look for the positive, how can we live what can we learn from it? We are, however, at the bottom of the hour, partner.
Yes, we are.
And
I guess we can take a break now for a little while and let the folks at home listen to some calming music.
Absolutely. And then a commercial and stuff like that. With your permission, I have a song by Garb the Bard.
I love him.
Called The Pipes of Pan.
I would love
and
to
I
hear it.
I thought that sounded somewhat appropriate to our conversation tonight.
It's appropriate indeed, and Pan has come up in our discussion. So play away. I know I shall enjoy it.
Excellent. Here we go. Be back after this.
Okay.
How many people really can hear the pipes of Pan as they sound across our sacred land of old. I can see a cloven hoof falling on the bearskin of the earth. I can see life returning, feel the triple one's rebirth. Golden light dapples across the woodland as the piper dances and plays his tune. Turn the hunter horned one, spirit of man, to the moon. All of my life I have seen many offerings to the gods and all the wonder that they hold, but how many people really can hear the pipes of Pan as they sound across our sacred land of old? Can you hear the pipes of Pan on the warm summer breeze? If you can you feel him deep within you as he penetrates the land? May blossom to the bee, the nectar of love is on her skin. Heat returns as passions rise and Beltane's dance begins once again. All of my life I have seen many offerings to the gods and all the wonder that they hold, but how many people really can hear the pipes of Pan as they sound across our sacred land? Oh, all of my life I have seen many offerings to the gods and all the wonder that they hold, but how many people really can hear the pipes of Pan as they sound across our sacred land?
The Magic Jukebox Podcast presents Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through May 30th in Lafayette, Georgia. This event will feature the best in pagan music and over 100 vendors and workshops, featuring Tuatha Day, Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Wendy Rule, Digis Christ Superdrum, Dragon Ritual Drummers, and many more. Also featuring the official release of the Green Album. This eclectic compilation of thoughts and sounds will feature various acts performing at Caldera Fest, benefiting the Rainforest Trust. Come on out and have the time of your life. Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through 30th at Cherokee Farms in Lafayette, Georgia. For more information, visit calderafest.com today. See you there.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back. That was very exciting. Fina and I were dancing in the room and scattering leaves and things like that. How about you, Terry?
I love that song. It's one of my favorites.
Awesome song. song. Thank you for selecting it. And we can talk about this topic endlessly, and we will. We started the time that you interviewed us, and we will continue it here on Voice of Olympus, because we haven't even scratched the surface of this topic. Now, what is next for Terry Power and for the Spiritual Unity Radio Network?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, we are celebrating our 500th episode on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network.
And that is awesome.
And yeah, it's exciting. I mean, we've stuck around. We've been midsummer will be our second year on the air. And so, I'm not counting the nights that we didn't have shows. I'm counting only the nights that we had shows. We're at 500 episodes. So, it's pretty exciting. We're going to have Onyx come back and hang with us for the evening, and hopefully William will come back on, depending on his work schedule. And, myself and Robin, hopefully we'll get Lisa to come on and talk with us as well. And just, think back and talk about what we've been, what we've done. Basically, Tuesday night is Robin and I do either ritual for the full moons or the Sabbaths. The occasional dark moon thrown in there, because we all need to look at ourselves and we need to look in that mirror. So we do those, and then we do teaching. We're doing a series on the tarot cards, the major arcana, and the fool's journey through the major arcana. And we're also breaking down ritual into its basic parts. And I think next week we're talking about East. And we're talking about air. So, I mean, we're breaking it down to that level where, we're talking about each component and really delving into it and trying to understand the elements of ritual. So those are the two big teaching things that we're doing. No, I take that back. Next week will actually be our Ostara ritual. So, we do teaching and ritual on Tuesday night, and then Thursdays we do interviews. We get people to come hang out with us under the shady tree. Right now we're focusing on artists that will be appearing at Caldera Fest on Memorial Day weekend, May 26th to 30th. Robin and I will be there representing the station. We'll be interviewing a lot of the guests and hosts. We'll even be doing a few interviews from the state. So that's coming up in June 11th. We're going to be speaking at the Pittsburgh Pagan Picnic. And then June 18th and 19th, we're going to be at Shaputa of Ishtar. And we'll be joining you guys, and with the Hands of Change, the organization that's putting that on. So it's all pretty exciting, and we just stay busy. We're looking at a couple of fall events, but nothing's finalized. So if you're interested in having us come out and speak, you can certainly get in touch with us at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. So there's my plug.
Well, that is awesome. You are keeping busy and you are getting out there, and our paths are crossing, and I'm looking forward to doing our Apotheosis of Hercules ritual together.
I'm looking forward to that.
Well, we will continue this conversation again, and I'm sure it will take a long time for us to even cover the surface, but I see that my sage and emissary, Tiresias, is waiting outside the door. So let me greet him. Terry, until we speak again, I wish you great success and many happy adventures.
Thank you, sir. I look forward to it. Thank you again for having me on tonight. Thank you.
And thank you for having us on the network. Paige, is that you?
Indeed it is. Now,
it is such a pleasure to see you.
Yes, indeed it is, my Lord Hercules.
It is now,
what would you know?
I would know if you can serve me again in our latest endeavor.
Oh, most certainly. Our adventures begin most pressingly on a rainy night like this.
Well, of course. What better night for adventures to begin? Now, Tiresias, this is what I wish you to do between now and the Mythic Atlantis event on April 16th in Tenafly, New Jersey.
What would you have me do?
Well, if you stop asking, I will tell you. I wish you to go to those who LARP and those who live in recreation worlds and those who dress up in costumes. I know that you circulate amongst these folk. And I want
you to tell them about
Mount Olympus and the voice of Olympus and our Mythic Atlantis event, where they can come and meet us in person and we can plan many future adventures together.
I hear Tiresias is a favorite among the mermaids.
He is indeed. Tell us about your experience with mermaids, Osiris.
Ah, my dearest Snooky Wookums, she who is known as Debbie D. Yes.
Does she know
right now, she's in Los Angeles, if memory serves my brain correctly. I don't know what she's up to, but she has committed to joining us at Tenafly, as you yourself have told me.
That's in question right now. She's on a reality show, so we won't know until later this week. But yes, she would like to join us.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you'd like me to do?
I'm sorry?
Anything else you'd like me to do?
No, if you can do that, that would be a great service. And you
spread the word about our convention to those who would not otherwise know of us.
There you go. You're wise and insightful, Osage.
Oh, boy, that's a doozy of a quest, say I. But one fulfillable.
Yes, and I know you're just the sage to do it.
We have the utmost confidence in you.
Oh, most certainly.
Well, tell me,
what news have you?
I seek sooths from my soothsayer.
Ah, first sooth of your new gender, and here it is. You must pursue a greater means to get the word out about your program, and therefore to get the word out about our coming convention. You've challenged me with both, and needless to say, I will not be denied until I have fulfilled those quests per se.
That is comforting to hear.
And I would have your counsel in case I can't go it alone. Not all sages can go the distance, mind you.
Now, one other question I wish to ask you. You are a devout Christian, and we've worked together without problems for many years. Would you care to share that part of your life with our audience here?
Sure. I've always been partial to the Protestant Christian movement. I mean, honestly, they've done so much wonders. So far, I have been able to deal with at least three very cool Christians.
Very good.
They are our beloved Pope Francis. And at least two from the Orthodox world.
What's wrong, Sage? You sounded like you're losing your energy there.
I am just a bundle of nerves, as this is my first time on the SURN.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I was going to refer to...
Am I scary? Is Athena scary? Was Terry scary?
No, you're not frightening me at all.
Then why
are you... Dear Pope Francis, our good and wise Archbishop Demetrios and his big boss in Istanbul, His All Holiness, patriarch Bartholomew. Those were the three I was about to refer to. They, in their combined wisdom, and dare I say it, our distinguished New York Archbishop Timothy Dolan, they've made proper religion in our world cool again, say I.
That's a very...
Forgive me for stumbling on my words, but alas, your soothsayer is at best a known stutterer in the days of that of the bard Mel Tillis, and at best a horrifying mispronunciator of words. That will, however, change as the adventure persists.
I find you very eloquent, O sage and emissary.
Oh, thank you. Oh,
now,
boy. There's a lot of adventures in the weeks and months ahead. Anything else you'd like to share?
Sir, is that not true?
Oh, I believe you. I most certainly believe you. And with your help.
Dragon Master?
The Dragon Master. Wise old Master Black Wolf. He who hath made at least 21 YouTube appearances, 2, hopefully 3 appearances in Time Out New York Magazine, and most recently reunited with that foolish fresh hound for the Insult Comic Dog's Election Night Special.
And now we're honored to have you back as well. So I'm glad that you're adventuring. Tiresias, we will be having you on again so that you can let us know your progress in the quest that I've assigned to you. I would like to thank you for being on this, our premier show.
Oh, most certainly.
And we shall speak again. Be well, my friend.
And you as well, big fellow. Until next time.
Until next time. Okay, before we say goodbye to our guests at home, what I would like to do is share a little bit about what we're doing in the days ahead. Everything we're doing is a countdown to Mythic Atlantis, which is our event at the Tenafly Elks Lodge on April 16th, which is a Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. This week we have in Fairlawn, New Jersey Community Education, The Path of the Hero, from 7 to 8 p.m., and Technology of the Ancients from 8:15 to 9:15 p.m. And then on Saturday in Creskill, New Jersey's Public Library, we're at the Makers Fair, where we'll be having workshops on Robots of the Gods from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m., and the Technology of the Ancients from 11 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. So that's pretty much what we're doing in the days ahead. Athena, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Well, I'm kind of relieved that you're a big fellow and not a Snooky Wookums.
You mean I'm not your Snooky Wookums?
Well, just mine, not Tiresias's.
I'm glad of that as well. But he is a fetching fellow, you must admit.
And I was going to say about emulating the gods and your mentors and stuff like that with the name Athena, I think it would be really great if I could turn people into spiders. That's something really to strive for.
I'd like to see that.
Yep, it'd be interesting.
If Athena succeeds in her quest, we will share it on a future edition of this show. Until we meet again, this is Hercules Invictus.
And Athena Victory.
Wishing you a wonderful evening and joyous journeys and safe adventures.
For listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.